Listening to Solidarity Spokane on KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and 92.3 FM. I'm your host, Kat Sabotage, and thank you for joining us on one of the final beautiful days of summer as it comes to a close, and we welcome autumn. I am joined in the studio today by two representatives, Trudy Rogers and Marsha Ryburn from Partners for Pets. Now, although we are a union solidarity hour focusing on workers' rights, for the most part, we also focus on any organization that is fostering community solidarity. And in this case, our guests are fostering quite literally, as Partners for Pets has helped rehome over 10,000 homeless kittens and cats in the Spokane Coeur d'Alene area. They do fantastic, beautiful work, and I'm very much looking forward to speaking to them later in the show. For the first 5-10 minutes, however, I just had a couple of things that I did want to promote to you, or rather to tell you about some labor news that's happening in case you missed it. First, we'll say our land acknowledgement, because we always broadcast acknowledging that we are on the ancestral lands of the Spokane Tribe of Indians and a multitude of tribes who are connected through shared history of trade, celebration, and resources. We make this acknowledgement to pay respects to their elders past and present, whose knowledge remains on this land. Please take a moment to consider the many, many legacies of violence, displacement, and migration and settlement that bring us together today. Join our community as we continue to learn about such truths that we may take direct action in solidarity with Native people towards restorative justice. So, quick news for those of you that are not in the know, but I'm sure many of you are. The United Auto Workers, UAW, announced this week that they will be going on strike. 13,000 workers strong, that is 1 in 10 to the layman auto workers in the United States, AP News reports, and it might even bleed up to Canada. Ford's going to let us know in a little while. For the first time, the United Auto Workers are taking on the big auto manufacturers. Now, Union President Sean Fain says that workers could strike at more plants if the companies don't come up with better offers. They have been offering counteroffers, but the union is not budging. Now, the workers are seeking across-the-board wage increases of 36% over 4 years. The companies have countered by offering increases ranging from 17.5% to 20%, AP News reports. Now, the CEO of General Motors believes that the value share in the company that they are offering employees is sufficient. She makes approximately $30 million a year. So while it might be easy to see how she could be a little disconnected with the needs of workers who, at most, the most tenured positions at those auto manufacturing plants are making approximately $32 an hour with seniority. And you have many workers there starting in the $15 an hour range. Now, I know there's many listeners out there who are trying to get by right now on $15 an hour. And even at full time, that's not even enough to put a roof over your own head and live independently. We're all feeling that crunch. But apparently to the CEOs of General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, that should be plenty. I'm sensing some let them eat cake vibes. But the big three auto workers ranked in $250 billion with a B dollars in profit since 2018. Cost of living adjustments have been virtually non-existent in the auto industry following the 2008 financial crash, and they have not been reinstated despite huge gains. We all heard the song and dance from the auto companies saying, "We are gonna fail." And the taxpayer, that's you and I, bailed them out and gave them billions and billions of dollars to keep them propped up. They took away cost of living adjustments from their workers. They closed plants and they cut a giant gash in U.S. labor's side. And now they're trying to say that they don't want to reinstate those despite making record profits year after year after year. Now, Bernie Sanders, our man with the plan, decried the coverage by popular media, stating that it pandered to the economic effects on the stock market and the value of the shareholders over the needs and value of real human beings. Now, I can personally attest to this because I put myself through watching ABC, MSNBC, CBS, just so you don't have to if you don't want to. And even CNN, which saw Michael Moore pandering to Biden. Now, I will say that Michael's a very good guy, and I will say President Biden, decent fellow in and of himself. But while the president has spoken in support of the unions, we still have not forgotten what his administration did to striking rail workers. And if you're listening to this, we know and we acknowledge and we remember that he essentially defanged your effort to get paid sick family medical leave in order to protect the flow of goods and market services. That's a tale as old as time. Essentially, we have the same song and dance being played out by corporate media on the air, on the television, and through your phone, saying what would happen. And listen to this every time it comes up, and there will be more strikes and it will continue to happen. But remember this, the media will always ask the question, what about the stock price? What about the value for shareholders? Well, in case anyone is asking or has forgotten, families in the top 10% of incomes in the United States held 70% of the value of all stocks as of 2019. That's a little bit of an old number, but it still holds true today. The median portfolio value was $432,000, and the bottom 60%, that's the rest of us, of earners only held 7% of the stocks by value. So I'm not saying that a hit to the stock market is not going to affect 401ks, those lovely retirement plans that are now commonplace and standardized, which tie your interest as the worker to the interests of the stock market, making you believe that you're going to be in dire straits if there is a downturn. But we only own 7% of those stocks. So never forget that while the media is trying to make you afraid of the economic impacts, the true impacts and the true gains that you are going to see across the board are by standing in solidarity with fellow workers who are going on strike to earn better conditions for themselves and therefore better conditions for all of us. Now, the final thing that I want to discuss moving on from the UAW, which is big, big news, quickly go and look up more about that, is that on August 25th, I neglected to tell you that the National Labor Relations Board on August 25th, 2023, issued a new decision in Cemex Construction Materials Pacific LLC, which established new framework for recognizing unions in the workplace. And under the new framework, when a union requests recognition on the basis that a majority of employees in an appropriate bargaining unit have designated the union as their representative, so that is to say the majority of workers would like that, an employer must, either recognize and bargain with the union or promptly file a petition seeking an election. However, if an employer, and that's quite a lot of them, seeking an election commits an unfair labor practice, that would require setting aside the election. The petition will be dismissed, and rather than rerunning the election, as employers have tried to do in the past, the board will order the employer to recognize and bargain with the union. This is big. Now, a lot of unions that are seeking recognition in the workplace are constantly stymied by employers running to the NLRB and filing motions and grievances, which drag this recognition process out. In the meantime, unfair labor practice claims are filed against them for dismissing workers for what they say are normal and legitimate reasons, but are often directly tied to workers trying to unionize. It essentially buys them time for them to whittle away at the support of the union, conduct all of those captive meetings on company property where union officials are not allowed to go, and perform other dastardly deeds. So this is a huge decision coming out of the NLRB. And I know I just spoke a little poorly of our good President Biden, but his NLRB is doing good work for us. So elections have consequences. If you want good NLRB decisions and you want things that are going to be favorable to workers, it seems that the Democratic Party seems to deliver administrative law judges who are willing to rule on their behalf. So that is the news for today. And now I would like to turn to our guests, Trudy and Marsha from Partners for Pets. We're going to take a hard pivot from the nastiness of the labor market, because it's always nasty. And Partners for Pets is located in Spokane Valley. Over the last 24 years, have helped more than 10,000 cats find new homes. In 1996, Partners for Pets was just a few people's passion for helping animals. And not much has changed since then. Their website reads, "We are a group of animal lovers dedicated to finding the perfect fit for every cat and kitten in our care. For everyone we place, we are back at the shelter rescuing another." Now, I just want to go ahead and open it up to Trudy and Marsha to get introduced. Welcome, Trudy and Marsha.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. We're excited.
Very excited to have you. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about the amazing work that you are doing. Now, my name is Kat, but I also have two cats, Charlie and Soji, who are at home listening to our broadcast right now. And as a cat lover, I've always been super, super happy and proud of the work that you guys over there at Partners for Pets do. And I wanted to ask just a few questions. Trudy, Marsha, who are you? Can you just talk about yourselves a little bit and kind of how you got started working with animals, maybe, or just anything you want the listeners to know at home?
Well, about 8 years ago, I started fostering because my children grew up and moved out.
Empty nester.
Empty nester. And, well, I'm a mother. That tells you everything. And so I needed to fulfill that. And so I started fostering for different rescues. And currently I'm with Partners for Pets. I've worked very much on fostering the bottle babies that have no mothers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's tough because you're up feeding them every 2 to 2.5 hours for the first week, and then it goes to 3 hours. And yes, it can be really tough. And so
those little ones require a lot of love and attention.
They require.
That mama usually gives, yeah.
But they're blessings. They're beautiful.
And they truly are. I think, there's just something about a cat's face. And I'm sorry to everybody who's a listener that's not a cat person today, but I believe that you will still appreciate and acknowledge that we do have a need to take care of our little furry friends, but it's their little faces.
Adorable.
I know. It's just too much sometimes.
Yes.
And Marsha, how did you get started working with animals?
I started at the adoption center about 10 years ago when my daughter wanted to volunteer. Mm-hmm. Well, she lasted about 6 months, and I've been there ever since. I'm now fostering also. So that started about 5 years ago, started by taking sick cats home to help with them.
Yes.
And now it's fostering sick cats, healthy cats, kittens, whatever the need is. I've got 7 kittens at home currently, so for foster.
And there certainly is a huge need for cat populations, because I don't know if folks understand necessarily, but when I learned that mother cats, I mean, the amount, I don't have the exact numbers memorized, I apologize, but the specific amount that they can reproduce is astronomical. I mean, you can look at exponential growth, and you're talking about thousands of cats that can potentially come from one mama. That's a busy mama.
It is, and we thought rabbits were the issue.
Right, right. No, but cats just as much. And they can even get pregnant while they are still pregnant.
Still nursing.
Still nursing.
Still nursing. Yeah.
Still nursing. Still nursing.
I got a call the other day from somebody who had at their house five kittens that were only 3 months old and a mom who had just, mom cat who had just given birth to six more kittens.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, because they hadn't had time to get the mom spayed.
Right.
So the cycle is, can be really fast, so.
And then that's a lot of mouths that need love and attention and care and need to go to a home.
And need to not be dumped somewhere.
Yeah. Which unfortunately we do see in our communities.
We do. I have one that was dumped up north at a gas station. Car pulled up and threw the cat out.
Just a little kitten too.
She's about 1.5. Mm. Just so she's still in my home. We're doing her vaccines. We're trying to help her adjust.
Mm-hmm. Is she a little skittish? Maybe a little distrustful? Or how is she?
A little. She had lost a lot of hair. That was really obvious because she kept losing hair even after she was in our home. And she loves being brushed. So now her hair is no longer falling out.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So that's good. And so hoping maybe in the next month she'll be settled down. And because she's a sweetheart. Yeah. Just a sweetheart. Gets along with our dogs and everything. And the other cats. And hopefully just we'll be able to be find her forever home. Her true forever home.
Good. What's her name?
Luna.
Luna.
Because she's a silvery gray medium hair.
Mm, I love those.
She's beautiful.
Yes, yes. Now, who is Partners for Pets? Can you tell me a little bit about your organization? I gave the introduction, but is there anything more?
Well, we're a 501c3 nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So we are 100% volunteer run, whether it's the volunteers at the adoption center or any of our fosters, our board, which is a working board, we are all volunteers. So we have no paid members. Mm-hmm. We're all just people with a passion for helping cats and kittens. So.
And you guys, you do not take in strays, I was reading. So
Yeah, all of ours come from other shelters and other rescues. Like when we get the phone calls, we have to direct them mostly to scraps. Mm-hmm. Because we cannot intake from the public. We are not an authorized intake. So they'd have to release to like scraps or Spoke Animal, Humane Society, someplace that can take an owner release. Mm-hmm. And from there, we can take them in. So we get a lot of our cats and kittens from scraps.
Gotcha. So you'll go to the shelters, which are frequently at capacity.
And over, yeah.
Yeah, and you'll find foster arrangements for cats that need places to go until they find their forever home.
Yeah.
Exactly, because like the bottle babies, I remember volunteering at Scraps, and one day, this was during COVID, one day 11 bottle babies came in, and I was scrambling, and I took a couple, and scrambling to find places for these bottle babies.
Mm-hmm. And they're super, that's time sensitive.
It is time sensitive. So I feel that need for the bottle babies so much because there's not a lot of options out there. If you happen to have a lactating mother, will she accept the baby?
Mm-hmm.
You know, scraps and things will try. And so what we usually take on from scraps are the bottle babies or ones that are 4 and 5 weeks that are just weaning.
Mm-hmm.
And the mama's nowhere in sight, and so they still need at least a month, month and a half worth of care and all their vaccines and their shots.
Right. And so just before the break, I think this is a good time to indicate and at least speak about for a moment that one of the things that you guys also do is promote trap, neuter, release and
absolutely
spay and neuter programs.
Spay and neuter is all of our cats or kittens that go out for adoption are already spayed or neutered. And when we get those calls, we strongly encourage spay and neuter from everybody. So,
and what would you say to someone who says, well, I've got an outdoor cat, but there's no other cats around and he's not really bothering anybody, you know?
You'd be amazed how far they roam. And if you don't have them spayed or neutered, they will definitely either impregnate or get pregnant.
That's just the way of nature, isn't it?
Yeah. It is nature. It's guarantee.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And you can't have the birds and the bees talk with your cat as much as we would like to.
Yeah, we try.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't we?
Sit there and lecture them and they just don't listen.
They do not. So I am here. I am here with Trudy Rogers and with, I'm sorry, Marsha Ryburn. Okay, there we go. I got that. And we're just going to take a quick break and then we're going to be back. We're going to talk more cats and partners for pets. Don't go away.
Captain Maeve as we head out and about, featuring LGBTQ folk, friends, allies, and all who make Spokane a better place through inclusion, creativity, truth, and beauty. Local stories, conversations, and creations with universal appeal. Out and about, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on KYRS.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for September 18th to the 22nd. Monday, DJ Exodus at the Brickwest Plaza. Tuesday, Ben Vogel at the Osprey and Dayseeker at the Knitting Factory. Wednesday, Kyle Swafford at the Osprey, Austin Carruthers at Zeke's Pizza, Open Mic at the Checkerboard, and the Roommates Jam at the Red Room. Thursday, Ron Green at the Steam Plant, Kyle Richard and Friends at Brick West, the Vern Vogel Band at Bolo's, the Barry Aiken Trio at Emma Roo's, Alchemy at the Mac, Justin Priest at Zola, and Total Chaos, Acides, and Proleterror at the Big Dipper. Friday, Jim Isaac Chua at the Bing, Catalyst String Quartet with Zuiel Bailey at the Mac, Christian Mattson at the Fox, Dr. Don Goodwin Trio at the Historic Davenport, Top and Jay the Goon at the Affiliated Compound, White Trash Romeo at Jackson Street, Pacific Dub at the District, and Jake Rozier and the Implication, No Soap Radio, and Zora Mena at the Big Dipper. For an entire hour of Spokane area musicians, tune into For the Love of the Music every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Hi, this is Jeremy Whittington from Stage Left Theater. KYRS Thin Air Community Radio provides our region with information that might be omitted, overlooked, or even censored by mainstream media. Your radio station is powered by the communities they serve, and our radio programs are as rich and diverse as the Spokane community itself. Please make a pledge today by texting GIVE KYRS to 44321. Your support ensures that KYRS can continue to celebrate the rich diversity of our community.
Americans interested in contacting their U.S. senators can find the Senate's website online at senate.gov. From there, click on the drop-down menu on the top left corner of the page. Scroll down until you see the name of your state. Click on the state's name, and the website will redirect you to a page that lists both of the state's senators and their contact information. You're listening to Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 to 92.3 FM. I'm your host, Kat Sabotage, and I am here with Trudy and Marsha, and we are discussing Partners for Pets, an organization in Spokane Valley which finds homes and foster homes for bottle baby cats and for adult cats and for senior cats and all cats in our community that are needing their forever home. They are not a direct surrender shelter. For issues related to that, you would need to seek out the Spokane Humane Society or Scraps, but they do work closely with those organizations and take in animals to help with their overflow and provide more room for those shelters to serve your needs. Now, Trudy and Marsha, before the break, we were talking about the importance of spaying and neutering and how we can't have the birds and the bees conversation with our cats as much as we would like. They rarely listen to me. I try, but what are some of the consequences that you have seen from failing to spay or neuter an animal or a cat?
Well, what I've seen myself is I took on a mother cat that had was obviously pregnant. She was impregnated by her two brothers. None of them were fixed. Mm-hmm. The mother wasn't fixed, so this is the mother and three cats. Mm-hmm. And she was impregnated by both brothers, and then she had seven kittens. Two were born, were already passed.
Right.
And out of the five, so out of seven, only three survived out of it. So that's not safe either.
Not healthy for the mama.
It's not healthy for the mother. The mother was a sweetheart and is a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And two of those three babies have been already adopted.
That's exciting.
Yes.
Two out of the three already.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And Marcia, do you have any stories about any animals that you've seen that have suffered from lack?
They tend to want to roam more and stray more and travel further distances outside or get outside, and it puts them a lot more susceptible to the dangers of being outside. Recently had a cat in our neighborhood that was found that had been attacked by a dog because of roaming and everything. So it increases their susceptibility to...
Most definitely. And anything can happen in that big old world out there. And cats can roam for miles before they eventually find their way home, or somebody just picks up your animal and thinks that they're astray. And then, you know, they go missing for that reason. A lot of stuff can happen out there.
Yeah. And they're more prone to roam larger distances when they're not spayed or neutered. So.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to folks? You both are obviously animal lovers, and I would imagine have been since a very, very young age. What would you say to folks who would say, you know, that's just an animal, or that's just a cat? You know, why should I care about what happens to a cat?
It's hard to explain. I've ran into instances when somebody's saying, because we promote indoor only, and that is for the health of the animal.
Correct.
Get some great cat trees, put in a catio. I have a catio at my house, and halter train.
Fancy.
The one kitten that I just adopted that was part of those three, the person's already doing halter training.
Uh-huh.
So there's other routes around it, and it's hard when you have to explain to people that they want to adopt one of our cats, but they're going to let it catch mice. And after talking to the person that were saying, no, indoor only, and they're like, well, the mice are outdoor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means you need to go let the kitty outside to get the mice. And sadly, I had to turn down that adoption contract.
So can we talk a little bit? What is the adoption process like? If I were looking for an animal or a cat for my home, how would I go about doing that? Through Partners for Pets?
Well, first you'd find a cat that you were interested in, and then we do have an application process that you'd fill out the application for it.
Uh-huh.
Once that's filled out, whoever the foster is gets to review the application.
Okay.
And the fosters in our group actually get to make decisions on it. We do have certain requirements for people to adopt. Our cat's under 6 months. We do want them to go to a home with another young cat or kitten because kittens in pairs tend to do substantially better than single kittens.
I just want to say that's a good point you bring up, that a lot of people think that cats are just cats and you can just leave them by themselves for a very, very long period of time. Is that true?
Not really. Especially when they're younger, they're still developing their behaviors, learning how to play properly. A young kitten left on its own tends to be, well, just like a kid or a person, they get bored and they can get destructive.
Or mean to other animals they may encounter later.
Or mean
later.
To people. So, because they don't know how to take that energy out correctly. So.
And it sounds like that there's also a lot of education that you guys do in the community. Because it sounds like some people will come to you thinking that it's just a drop-in, pick-up, walk-out kind of place. But I'm getting the vibe that you guys have a little bit more of a process than that.
We do. We think education is number one. Because I know that when I grew up, I couldn't have cats. I had siblings that were allergic to them.
Sure.
But when I did, it was expected that it would be an indoor-outdoor.
Uh-huh.
And that little Callie disappeared. And of course, I didn't understand any of that, because different generation, just like keeping your dogs fenced or leashed.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 50s and 60s, you didn't do that.
Sure.
So it is important that we for sure make sure that we teach them and educate them the importance of the vaccines, of the neutering. We also do an FELV, FIV test, which is AIDS and leukemia.
Uh-huh.
Because sadly to say, the AIDS, we're finding that the cats can do really quite well with the AIDS, but the leukemia, they'll usually pass in less than 3 years.
It's a very devastating disease for our poor furry friends.
It is. It's a devastating, and it just comes down from the mother, who the mother doesn't know she's a carrier.
Uh-huh.
And it comes from out in the wild.
So if my cat's healthy at home, I should be taking in my cat regularly for vaccinations and for checkups?
Yes, there's certain you do have to do the rabies. The rabies is, that's a state law.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a couple of the vaccines out there that they highly recommend, even if they're an indoor cat.
Yeah.
And Marcia, go ahead.
The vaccine, the other one is called FVRCP, and it's... trying to remember what this stands for, but it's basically the same, similar to making sure a dog gets like their parvo vaccines and everything else. It prevents other diseases that can be picked up, even carried on dust or dirt through your house. So getting those vaccines regularly is a good idea to help keep your cat safe and healthy.
Particularly if they're around a lot of other cats too,
yeah.
And
so,
other animals and things like that.
Yeah,
With fostering, I automatically, the cats that are my own, there is an FELV vaccine. So they're vaccinated just in case there's one that come into my home that they get contact with. We try quarantine for so many weeks and get them tested. But just on the mishap, I just make sure that they're safe.
You're a 501c3,
mm-hmm.
So you run a lot by donation and by volunteer. So how would somebody find information about doing that if they wanted to volunteer or they wanted to donate to Partners for Pets and get a tax deduction maybe?
All of our information for volunteering is available on both our website and our Facebook page.
Okay.
And we do a volunteer orientation the first Monday of every month.
First Monday of every month.
At 5:30 at our adoption center, which is located on Trenton Argonne.
Okay.
Right next door to Safeway.
Gotcha.
Also for donating, if somebody would be interested in just donating, we do have sponsors. And on our website, partnersforpets.org, there's a button that you can find down on there about sponsorship. And it also gives options for just donations.
Gotcha. What does volunteering look like for you guys? If I came to a Monday orientation, what's the order of business? And like, what am I going to be doing?
Oh, well, I've been volunteering at just the adoption center for 10 years now. And there's a lot of time you get to spend playing with kitties. But there's also the responsibilities of making sure basic litter boxes are clean, floors are swept, food and water dishes are filled. So mm-hmm. socializing kitties that are shyer, interacting with the public, teaching them about cats, helping socialize. So
you're saying there will be cats.
There will be cats. Right now there are lots of cats, lots of kittens. So
what if I'm a person who's interested in maybe fostering? I have a larger home, like Trudy said, maybe my kids have moved out, or I've had a situation where I found myself having a little bit of extra space and I could use some fluffy love bugs in my living room. How do I go about becoming a foster?
In the volunteer area, there is also an application that you can do for fostering, and then somebody would contact you, and we ask certain questions and interview you, and then we have another gal that comes and checks out your premises just to make sure it's safe.
Oh, sure.
And then you're qualified to foster.
Okay.
And there's, you know, as my husband and I say, is that when people say, how do you give them up? And I said, you know, we get another group of fun, fuzzy, play around kittens. Mm-hmm. And let the other, you know, kittens get their forever life and let them move on. But yeah, that's how you do it. And we also have volunteers for PetSmart because we're located in PetSmart in the Valley also.
Oh, PetSmart in the Valley.
Mm-hmm. And so we have two volunteers every day come in, clean all the litter boxes, clean all the kennels, just do everything, get their food, you know, filled back up, their water, just the whole works. So, and play with the kitties. They get to come out and run around.
I love that. That is so nice. I'm wondering if there are any kitties that stand out in your mind from the time that you've worked at Partners for Pets. I mean, you've worked with a lot of animals at this point. I mean, a lot of furry faces coming and going. But are there any that stand out in your mind and are just particularly special to each of you?
Mine is my little Miss Lily. She had what we believe was hydrocephalus. And what it was is it's a type of disease somewhat similar to cerebral palsy.
Oh.
But she couldn't move any of her legs, any of her paws, of both her back paws, back legs, front legs, back paws, and her whole back was stiff.
Oh, the poor thing.
But she could hear, she could see until she started having seizures. And she was great. I was doing My Turn Theater, and which is to do with special needs.
Yes, they've been on Maeve Griffith's show,
yes.
Out and About. Yes,
exactly.
Heard many good things about them.
There. Exactly, and I came in and directed a show for them, and she came with me to all of those. And she was, it was good for the kids to see that there was this little one that needed special needs, like they need special needs.
Yeah.
And, but that's who, she made it 10 weeks, but I'll never forget that, sweetie.
Absolutely. Marcia?
Oh, for me, it's a little bit harder to narrow it down to just one. There's been a few over the years at the adoption center. One of them I remember the most was back when my younger kid started volunteering, named Autumn.
Okay.
And she ended up being just a shelter cat.
Uh-huh. Was she one of those tortoise shells?
Actually, yeah, she was a tortoise shell.
That makes sense. The leaves changing color. That's a great name for a tortie.
So, and she was older. She had some arthritis in her back. She's only one of the only cats we've ever allowed to go into the back of the adoption center, back where our storage area is.
VIP.
Yeah. Because that way she could get away from everybody and have her break.
Yeah.
But my daughter was really shy at the time. And so she'd go back and sit back with her and sit on my daughter's child's lap. Mm-hmm. And she'd just pet her and everything. And when the Autumn finally passed, mm-hmm. my child actually took pictures and had pictures of her hung up in her room. So Autumn made a really big impact on all of us.
And I recall I was living with my friend Skylar just after high school. And, you know, because I was one of those people that just couldn't wait to get out of my house. But anybody? Anybody? I remember there was a mama cat that we had found. And she was a Siamese, you know, one of those little two-colored ones with the blue eyes that were kind of crossed. So every time she looked at you, she wondered if she was there. But she just ended up one day, didn't even know it. We had no idea. She just popped out on litter of kittens. And there was one little guy who in several days didn't get as big as the other ones. And so was very concerning. And by, I think it was the second day, we had noticed, you know, because kittens, they just, I mean, it's quick. Their eyes open and they start going, but he just wasn't getting anywhere and his fur wasn't coming in and he was just struggling. And I named him Napoleon because he was, you know, there's a little guy. Sorry to any, you know, fans of Napoleon out there that might be listening. Yeah, Waterloo happened. But we ended up taking him to the vet one day. And, you know, I didn't want to take him from mom because I was worried about, like, the stress that that would cause and if it would make it worse and all this stuff. And we took him to the vet, the cat clinic there on Audubon, and he had just one little valve in his heart. So he got born with just like a half a heart, essentially. So he was just trying to pump that little blood with his tiny little thing. And the vet was so kind, and I cannot remember her name, but to the cat clinic, if anyone's listening, you've got good people working there. But she had, she let me listen to his little heart and just said that, you know, this is one of those things. There's not really something that we can do there. And unfortunately, he ended up, you know, passing away as soon as we got him home from that appointment. We got him straight back and I put him right down next to mama and he crawled right into her little belly and started like trying to suckle. And then he passed away right there and I was petting his little head. But I still have a picture of him on my phone and I have saved that picture and it's been in my favorites folder forever because I will never forget little Napoleon and his bravery. But they really do stick with us, these stories and these animals that leave such a big paw print on our hearts. And I mean,
they do.
And they bring families together. They make lifelong memories and we deserve to show them a little love and solidarity back, I think.
They do. And sometimes, with that said, we don't always know which kittens are going to be healthy, which aren't. And some of the costs that we have is the medical cost for some of our medical kitties or some of our long-term ones.
Right, which is great that you exist and that you're providing those care because it's very sad, you know, when for simply being alive or an unfortunate circumstance can lead to suffering and
yes.
Something that is unnecessary. Reduce suffering where possible in every possible circumstance.
Yes.
Make the world a little better.
We have a couple of longer term medical fosters right now that we're still hoping to raise funds for through our donations. We have one that's...
I'm sorry to interrupt. I have to do our second break, but can we talk about them right when we come back?
Sounds great.
All right. You're listening to Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane. I'm your host, Kat Sabotage. You're listening and we're here with Partners for Pets. We'll be right back after a message from our underwriter.
Day, I knew you were my pet. I want to tell you how much I love you.
Tune in to Earth Matters Now every Tuesday at noon. Laura and Mike will share stories about the climate crisis, wildlife, and the people helping our planet become sustainable. That's Earth Matters Now, Tuesdays at noon.
And now, just a quick word from our underwriters. Solidarity Spokane received support today from Northwest Bach Fest, presenting cellist Zwi Bailey and guests. The event is open to the public on Friday, September 22nd at the Museum of Arts and Culture Auditorium, also known as the MAC in Brown's Addition. For more information at northwestbachfest.com. Solidarity Spokane also received support today from the Peace and Justice Action League, presenting the 14th annual Peace and Justice Action Conference on Saturday, September 30th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Central Library. Workshop info and registration at peacejustice.org.
KYRS is grateful for the many listeners who have donated their vehicles to us. You can join them by donating your unwanted car, truck, minivan, motorcycle, and more. Vehicles are picked up free of charge, sold, and the proceeds help KYRS bring you the programs you know and love. It's easy to donate your vehicle, and it's tax deductible. Just call our toll-free line to arrange a free pickup. 855-KYRS-CAR. That's 855-597-7227.
Welcome back from the break. You're listening to Solidarity Spokane, KYRS Medical Lake Spokane. I'm your host, Kat Sabotage, and today we're talking with Trudy and Marsha, two very lovely folks over from Partners for Pets. And just before the break, Marsha, you were going to talk about we were talking about special needs cats and some that you have right now that are in need of a little extra TLC.
They're not mine. They're with other fosters.
Uh-huh.
But one is going through thyroid treatment for hyperthyroidism.
Okay.
And they're getting ready to go through a radioactive iodine treatment that'll be a permanent cure for the thyroid problems rather than having to have a daily medication.
Right.
It's a rather expensive treatment. This will be the second cat we've put through it. But it saves them in the long run, gets them nice and healthy, and makes them readoptable.
Okay.
So.
And did you have any others, too, that are currently going through some treatment?
We do have one currently that's being treated for pneumonia.
Oh, thing.
So it's it's a bit of a course, but it will get them nice and healthy so they can be adopted out.
Uh-huh.
We have several others that have upper respiratory infections, which is kind of a kitty cold like you'd see when you have kids in a daycare. One gets it and they pass it on to everyone else. So
I would like to say that a cat sneeze is just about one of the cutest things.
I guess it depends on how much they send out with it.
So. Correct. And the severity of the illness, of course. But yeah. When they do sneeze, that is just the cutest little...
Yeah.
You know.
So, but yeah, I've got five of them at home that I'm treating for upper respiratory. So
five. You have five of your own at home that you're fostering and treating.
Yes. So it's always fun trying to catch them when they know what you're doing.
What kinds of environments are you looking for folks that can foster? I mean, when you look at a home and you kind of assess its fitness for animals and fostering, like what are the kind of requirements for listeners at home who might be thinking, this sounds like a great idea?
Well, always cleanliness.
Uh-huh.
There's a difference between cleanliness and just junk. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
A lot
you
of
know?
Clutter, things that could harm the animal.
Like, as long as it's safe clutter. Mm-hmm. But we want it clean enough that that there's not a harm that's going to come to the kittens.
Of course.
And some of us have kitty rooms where we have it set up because a kitten should be quarantined for at least 2 weeks. Minimum, just in case they are carrying some kind of upper respiratory or possibly some of the worst things like Panluc. So that's why that's really important that you have a space for them. It can be a bathroom that is the third bathroom in the house or, you know, a guest bathroom, whatever it may be. And then what I do with mine, once they get... Well, at least, I don't know, about a pound and a half or so, I start introducing them to my other cats in my house. And they start sleeping with us and just being part of the house. But some of it is just making sure that they have the needs, the places for the needs for the cat.
And what was your website again?
PartnersForPets.org.
It's a .org.
It is.
Okay.
Completely nonprofit. And that's, when we're talking medical, a lot of folks don't realize that when they adopt a cat or a kitten, we've already paid for it to be, you know, all the vaccines, all the worming, the getting fixed, the chips, everything. That even the cost to adopt doesn't cover that. And then when you put on top of that, just the amount of if one of the animals do have to go to a veterinarian for something special needs.
Uh-huh.
Like I have one that had x-rays last week and has to go and do blood work on Thursday in hopes that it doesn't have a disease called FIP, which is this mama cat that was impregnated by the two fathers.
Mm-hmm.
It's incest, and this may be an outcome from
that.
From that.
And again, which is why your organization wants to educate people about the importance of spay-neuter. Can we talk for just a few minutes? I always wish we have more time for our guests, but we've got about 6 minutes. In that time, can we talk a little bit about trap-neuter release?
Yes.
And what would you encourage folks to do? I mean, I myself in our neighborhood have a number of cats that I kind of, you know, help out and I'm around. How do you go about a TNR program, especially if it's like your neighbor's cat and you don't, I mean, should you have your conversation with your neighbor or should you have that conversation? How, teach me. you are the sages.
Okay. Partners specifically does not have a TNR program.
Okay.
Scraps does. They will rent out traps or they will set them out for you and they will take in the cats. They will spay or neuter them. They will ear tip them so that it's easily recognizable from a distance that that cat has been spayed or neutered.
Uh-huh.
And then they will return them to the area they were found in, which means they are returned to an area that they know and feel safe in.
Uh-huh.
And then they're hoping the community will help continue to care for that animal, make sure it's fed.
Mm-hmm.
I have several cats that I personally have TNR'd.
Uh-huh.
And I continue to provide food for, so.
And that's trap, neuter, release, TNR.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Trap, neuter, release, so.
And people don't understand. I had a gentleman recently just not understand, why do you release them back? And I said, because most of these cats have never had a home, have never, you know, they're 5, 6, 7 years old. And
have been getting along fine in whatever environment they've been
exactly,
in.
Exactly, and there's nobody that's going to adopt them because they're feralish usually by then.
Right.
And so that's where they're familiar, but at least we slow down the cat population for them.
And don't create more situations. And so many of our cat friends end up underneath, you know, cars or, you know, because there's too many. And I mean, it's just, it's really sad. And it doesn't need to happen. You know, we don't need to have these situations where animals are put in undue positions of stress, harm, sickness, illness, anything
exactly.
like that.
So. Our society should have grown far enough to understand the needs of, like, our children, same thing, you know, and same with the animals, the dogs, the cats.
I wish, Trudy, that I could share your optimism about the advancement of our society. based on our normal weekly coverage of labor and labor activism, I've become a little disillusioned in that we are. I would agree that we're behind, but you know, I don't even think we take care of our own kids.
That's what I mean. Is we need to. It's we understand. We have the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Then
we just need to do it.
And guys out there, if you're listening, we don't have to be so tough, and we don't have to be brisk and gruff with animals. We can still be loving and tender to them. Just because we're men does not mean that we need to treat every animal as a nuisance or as another mouth to feed. Although they are, but what cute mouths they are!
They are.
Yeah.
My husband is the worst. I do all the work, and he does all the play.
Oh, yeah.
He actually stopped by the adoption center the other day to check on the kittens.
Two of them that are there at the adoption center that are ours. Yeah.
I want his job.
Oh, he works too, but he just was out and about.
And okay, in the last several minutes here, you brought me my favorite thing in the world, which are cat pictures. And I have got a couple pictures of some cats that you guys are hoping to find homes for today.
Yes.
And I've got a little tortoiseshell mix named Sedona here. And it's the radio, so I can't give you pictures.
She's got an adoption pending.
Oh, she does.
Yes,
oh,
she actually does.
Sedona.
So. Oh.
That's a win there. Yeah. Okay. Well, she's adorable anyway.
She is. I saw her picture and went, ooh, I'm doing that one.
That one. I mean, I'm happy to see the
beautiful
picture.
Beautiful tortoiseshell.
Yeah,
she is. And then I've got another gentlemanly tuxedo. He's a true tuxedo, too. He's got the full black back. Fun fact for those listening at home, if it doesn't have a full black back from head all the way down, it's a piebald. It's a piebald cat, not quite a a tuxedo. But this is Doodlebug, and he's got a little goatee and a little mask on his face. And he looks to be like about 1.5, would you say?
He's about that. Yes.
Okay. What? Tell me about Doodlebug.
He's really sweet. He's in our PetSmart location out in the valley.
In the valley. And where is that again?
It is in the PetSmart at Broadway and Sullivan.
Okay. And Doodlebug's just chilling out there waiting for his
forever
home.
He's chilling and such a sweetheart. Oh my gosh. He's just a sweetie.
Lap cat.
Lap cat.
Mm-hmm.
Wants nice attention little, once in a while.
Nice little rattle. And then you brought me pictures of kittens, so I might just keel over dead right now. But I've got a little Russian blue, it looks like.
Yes.
Bjorn. I've got a little black cat, all black cat. Maybe
yes.
A little white specks in there. Odette.
Yes.
And I've got Gus, who's another little Russian blue, and I think it's a little two-tone there. Is Gus a two-tone or a?
I don't believe so, but Gus is so funny. We had a large adoption event at PetSmart Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and he needs people.
I need to be by somebody.
He needs to be by somebody. So we finally put him in a cat stroller and took him around the store in the cat stroller, and he was happy as can be.
So Gus likes strollers.
Cat.
For anyone that might have had some kids recently outgrow their strollers.
Yes, and he would love to be tucked in into your coats and things like that. He lets you know. He's a busy guy, and the little black one, Odette, is just sweet as can be, loves the tummy rubbed.
Okay. So those are some of the cats that are up for
those
adoption?
Are also at PetSmart.
These are all cats that are currently available at PetSmart
yes.
in Spokane Valley. I've enjoyed having you on the show so much. Marcia and Trudy, thank you
thank
very
you.
Much for coming.
Thank
and
you.
The work
thank
that
you.
You're doing for the cats in our community and for our neighborhoods. Remember, everybody, trap, neuter, release. And if you have any questions about that, please reach out to Scraps, the local Humane Society, or Partners for Pets. And you can find more information about Partners for Pets and the work they do at partnersforpets.org or drop in the PetSmart in Spokane Valley to get your daily dose of fluffins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm your host, Cat Sabotage. This has been Solidarity Spokane for September 18th. We'll see y'all next week.
Love you.
Program was pre-recorded.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
And the way that we create urgency on the issue of climate is when we have people all across the world in the streets! Showing up, demanding change, and demanding a cessation of what is killing us. We have to send the message that some of us are going to be living on this planet 30, 40, 50 years from now, and we will not take no for an answer.
As many as 75,000 people rallied near the United Nations in New York City Sunday at a march to end fossil fuels. The rally came as world leaders begin to arrive here for the United Nations General Assembly. We'll hear from Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, former Irish President Mary Robinson, and Ugandan climate activist Vanessa Nakate.
We will not stand by and let our communities to be destroyed. We will not stand by and let people's lives get lost as climate disasters become worse. Because we refuse to accept that anymore.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The World Health Organization and aid groups have called on Libya's government to stop burying flood victims in mass graves a week after unprecedented rainfall caused a pair of dams to collapse, devastating the eastern coastal city of Derna. The UN reports about 4,000 people were killed by the floods, with more than 9,000 people still missing. The toll is down from the UN's previous report of more than 11,000 deaths. More than 30,000 survivors have been rendered homeless and are in immediate need of clean water, food, and shelter. Aid workers continue to collect the bodies of the dead.
As a Libyan, when I pull out bodies, I swear, I cry, I can't handle it. But it is God's will, so you have to hold up and pull out the body. There was a body that was divided in two parts, right before us. There's nothing to do but to pull out the body. What can you do?
As the climate catastrophe devastates the planet, hundreds of thousands of protesters around the globe took to the streets over the weekend calling for an end to the burning of fossil fuels.